Small businesses are the cornerstones of our local communities, and small business owners are hardworking and passionate people who are chasing down their ambitions while there's a lot on the line. So, let Verizon champion your small business dreams. Whether you own a small business, are scaling one, or starting one from scratch, you need Verizon Small Business Days. From April 22nd through April 28th, you can partner with Verizon business experts for small business support. During Verizon Small Business Days, you can receive a free tech check with a one-on-one meeting with a Verizon business expert. Plus, Verizon business experts will provide you with personalized advice and solutions that are tailored to your specific small business needs. Take advantage of special offers and deals during Verizon Small Business Days and get more for your business. Verizon, well, they've got you back. Don't miss out. Book an appointment today. Just call 1-800-483-4428 or go to verizon.com/small business.
So why do you want to learn a new language?
I'll tell you why. Because ¿dónde está el baño? Can be a very important question at times. You know, Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. Fast track your language acquisition with immersive lessons designed to teach you to pick up languages in a natural way. I love the fact that I can go from my laptop to my phone to pretty much anywhere and learn the language of my choice. Not to mention, I'm bringing my communication skills to new heights. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a limited time, StarTalk Radio listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/StarTalk. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/StarTalk today.
Welcome to StarTalk, your place in the universe where science and pop culture collide. StarTalk begins right now. Welcome to StarTalk Radio. I'm your host, Neil deGrasse Tyson. I'm an astrophysicist with the American Museum of Natural History in New York City, where I also serve as the Frederick P. Rose Director of the Hayden Planetarium. And here we are entering the Cosmic Queries portion of StarTalk Radio. In the Cosmic Queries section, I don't do that alone. We get questions that come from every conduit into through the internet, from Facebook, from the tweets, on our website, and I trolled the streets and found Colin Jost walking among them.
That's right.
Colin, welcome. Last time I had you on, I called you Colin.
I remember.
Yes, I'm sorry.
I like the how little faith you have in my mom. She would name me after like the least appealing part of a body.
And you were so polite to not correct me on it. So certainly, Colin Jost, and you're a lifetime guy in the world of comedy, right?
Yeah. I've been doing it. Yeah, I've been an SNL and been doing stand-up too. And
man, but you're not that old, so you have quite a resume in these years.
No, maybe time traveler. I don't know. Maybe.
I'm old enough to like remember the first episodes of Saturday Night Live, back before it was called Saturday Night Live.
This is like 40s?
Exactly. In fact, it was just called Saturday Night, which is why they begin live from New York is Saturday Night.
And it predates that day of the week, right? There wasn't even that day of the week. And then they were like, we should name this whole day Saturday.
Because the show needs a place to air, right? There you go. So thanks for joining me for this StarTalk Cosmic Queries.
It's a delight to be here.
So now, I don't claim any personal expertise on superheroes, but I do know physics and astrophysics. So let's see what we can offer the spate of questions that have just arisen. So
absolutely.
What do you got for
here's
me?
Right off the bat, here's one from Google+ from Nathaniel Dorn. I'm a big X-Men guy, so I'm very curious about this. If you were Magneto, what would be the coolest thing you would do with your power over magnetism? This is really more of a wish fulfillment question for you rather than a science question.
Oh, wow.
Magnetism, power of magnets.
You know what I would do? I would clone myself and put one of each of me on the interplanetary voyages of the astronauts and create a magnetic field around the spaceship to shield it from harmful solar particles.
No, but see, that presupposes you can also clone yourself. I feel like that's a whole other step first.
Oh, so the control over magnetic fields, that's the easy one to accept, but not the cloning. No. What?
I can't give you every power.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, even magic has its limits.
Well,
you know?
So the big challenge today is when you leave the magnetic blanket of the Earth has its magnetosphere, which extends not quite to the moon. Mm-hmm. And so if you're in Earth orbit, you're protected from it. You're within the protective blanket of Earth's magnetic field, and charged particles from the sun, which would otherwise harm your DNA, get channeled to the poles away from you, and it collides with molecules in Earth's atmosphere, and it renders the atmosphere glow, becoming the aurora borealis,
right.
the northern lights, and the aurora australis, the southern lights.
I didn't know it was called the aurora australis.
Got to call it. Wow. Yeah, the borealis and the australis.
I would have thought it would have been like Antarcticus or something.
Oh, okay, there'd be aurora articus.
Articus.
No, that was a guy from Rome. I am Aurora Articus. You are my subjects.
Yeah.
So,
someone brought up too that Magneto, as a controller of all things magnetic, could theoretically just tear the universe apart. Is that accurate?
No. Next question. Well, the universe is not magnetic. I'm sorry.
Well, what's the most damage, like, you know, long-term, wide-reaching damage they could do?
Okay, the way they've written his character in the comic books is that he's controlling metal, because metal is the obvious magnetic.
Of course,
But if I remember my chemistry, if you supercool certain gases down into a liquefied state, mm-hmm. you can have liquefied magnetic materials. So
he could combine with Iceman.
Oh, that would be cool.
You know what I mean? That would be a good...
Oh, wow. Yeah, but not only that...
That might be a good plot line.
Plasma, which is what the sun is made of, which is essentially the contents of flame, but mm-hmm. the sun makes a better example for what I'm about to describe. A plasma is a gas that's so hot that the electrons in the outer layers of the atoms have escaped, and they're roaming free in the gas. And that means that the gas can respond to magnetic fields. So the sun has a very powerful magnetic field and its plasma. And so here's this gas trying to rotate with the sun, and the magnetic field gets trapped in the rotating gas and gets wound up on itself, and it busts through the sun's surface every now and then. In fact, it's on a cycle of 11 years, and you get solar storms and sunspots and solar flares and prominences. All of this is magnetic activity. Huh. So Magneto would not be limited to metal. Magneto could totally tear a new one in a star, because he can interact with the magnetic fields that control where those gases appear and what they do.
I think you just wrote the next 12 issues of Magneto for them. Okay, here's the next question from Twitter, from Jimmy B, at Hey Jimmy B. Could Superman survive the spaghettification of a black hole and the force required to escape it? He's known to be traveling faster than the speed of light.
Yeah,
right?
So, okay. Well, it's Superman. In Superman 1, what's the one where he went back in time to save Lois Lane?
Oh, where, he traveled. Where
was
he
that
spins.
Superman 1?
Yeah, it is 1, right?
Yeah, Superman 1. In order to fly around the Earth that fast, he's going faster than light. So that establishes that.
So it's real.
So it's real. That makes it legit. Actually, if you can actually travel faster than light, you can just climb out of a black hole. Nothing will stop you. However, the journey down to the singularity would, as sure as night follows day, would spaghettify him. He would be ripped apart head to toe. Yes, he's made of denser matter and can stop bullets, and he's – yes. But if his material is of this universe, he is not resistant to the power of gravity on that scale. And you'd have a totally spaghettified Superman.
Whoa.
And just to go over what spaghettification is – oh, we only have 20 seconds left in this segment. Oh, no, sorry.
So he needs a he needs to pair with Wolverine, who has a healing power. So if he got out of it, he could reunite his particles.
We'll find out when we come back in the next segment on Star Talk Radio, the Cosmic Query section. We'll see in a moment. This is Star Talk Radio. I'm your host, astrophysicist Neil deGrasse Tyson, and we are in the Cosmic Queries section. Helping me is Colin Jost. Colin, welcome to Star Talk Radio.
Thank you very much.
We left off the last segment.
Talking about spaghettification.
Spaghettifying Superman.
Yeah, which is a real, sounds like a classic Italian dish. what is spaghettification? It's when you're being sucked in, the particles are being ripped apart?
Yeah, so what happens is as you get closer to the center of a black hole, the field of gravity at your feet becomes insanely higher than the field of gravity at your head. Mm-hmm. This is a feet-first dive into the black hole. And the consequence of this is that your feet will accelerate towards the black hole faster than your head will.
Whoa.
And initially that, you know, you're just stretching and might even feel good. Mm-hmm. But there's a point where that stretching force, it's officially the tidal force, the same force that makes the tides on Earth, is what rips you apart as you fall into a black hole. That tidal force eventually exceeds the binding force of the molecules of your flesh. At the point—
Which sounds bad.
Because it is bad. And when that happens, you snap into two pieces on your way down. And this difference in force continues. Whoa. Your upper half and your lower half each feel this difference in force. And they then rip into a pair of pieces each. Now you're four segments. And then eight. And then 16. Happening. 32. And you run the series down. There'll be a point where you will be a stream of atoms descending impossibly towards the center of this abyss. If Superman is made of materials of this universe,
right,
whether or not he is of this Earth, if it is of this universe,
you will.
He is subjected to those same laws of physics, and he will be spaghettified just as day follows night.
But then what if he were basically took on the powers of a worm who's able to, you know, you could segment them and they would still live different pieces? Ooh. Would then there be a bunch of supermen out
Here's
there?
Here's the problem. When you cut up a worm, each segment of the worm still has a full genetic code for what the whole worm was. When you spaghettify, you are just atoms.
Oh, okay. So it's not even.
Yeah, the hydrogen atom that got yanked off of your DNA molecule does not remember the DNA molecule from which it came.
Huh.
Yeah, you're a host.
And then, so what about Mr. Fantastic, the rubber guy?
Oh, the rubber dude.
Because then, how would he go into a black hole?
Oh, in the Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Ooh. Or who's the woman in The Incredibles? Was it Elastic Woman?
Elastic Girl? Rubber Girl.
Elastic. So Elastic Girl, anybody who's stretchable in principle might be immune to this. The question
is, they have to then travel faster than the speed of light. So
to get out. Yeah. If they want to get out, you got to travel faster than light. We've established that Superman can do that. So we would send Superman into a black hole until he was ready to snap into two pieces. Then he flies his way back out again.
Gotcha.
And that'd be cool.
Or Superman has a baby with this Elastic Girl, right? Which...
Ooh.
So, which we all been fantasizing.
Wow. Have you been fantasizing about being with Elastic Girl or fantasizing with
Superman
with Elastic Girl?
I just want to watch. I just want to watch Superman a lot. And I don't even know how old Elastic Girl is. Maybe that's inappropriate for me to say. This is the next question. This is from Jeffrey Williams on Facebook, and it says, the character of Captain America seems to be the closest to reality. I don't know what that means, but I guess of the Avengers, say.
No, Batman is. Batman.
Yes.
Batman's a regular guy.
He's regular, but someone that has superhuman powers. Mm-hmm. Do you believe there are currently experiments happening that are trying to increase the capacities of the human genome, example, human strength, super strength, increased visual acuity, heightened stamina, etc.? And he also wants to know if these experiments are going on, are they morally correct?
I'm not authorized to comment on that. Next question. No, so I can say a couple of things. First, you can't just take a guy that has normal-looking muscles and make him 10 times stronger. If it's made of muscle tissue, because the physics of strength correlates with the cross-sectional area of your muscle. So in other words, The reason why when you work out, your muscles get bigger is because they're getting stronger.
Right.
It's a direct correspondence between the strength of your muscle and how big it is.
Mm-hmm.
There's some variation in there, like in are you in good shape? So you can be slender and still be stronger than someone else who's slender but who's not in shape.
Because aren't there varying muscle densities that people have too?
Sure, but not so – we're all human at the end of the day.
Right.
Okay? We're all human. And so muscle size correlates with muscle strength. So you can't have a Captain America who – he had a good body. No, you know, he turned heads in a fitness center.
Sure.
But – the strength of those muscles are not such that he would have the strength exhibited by any genetic manipulation at all.
Hmm.
It's just not – no, unless
– so you couldn't genetically alter the, say, density or efficiency of muscles?
Not and have it still be biological matter. You'd have to in fact, just replace the muscle with some other material.
Make it more cyborgy?
Yeah, just cyborg them out. And then yeah, oh, yeah, then you're good to go. And so
to rely on
our feeble biology to improve in strength, I think is not the right way to go if you want to make a better human. Not only that, and try to improve your sight, there's a limit to how dim you can see because of the size of the iris in your eyeball.
Right.
As
like we were talking about,
back in the telescope show, yeah. I had you on in the studio for the telescope show. Bigger telescopes see dimmer things.
Right.
It's that simple.
Exactly.
And so people said, oh, can cats see in the dark? How big is their eyeball?
Yeah.
All right. If it's not bigger than your eyeball and we all have retina in the back as detectors, no, they're not, you know, they might there's do a little better,
right,
but they're not going to do much better than you. All right. So unless they had huge eyeballs.
There are no owls.
Right, exactly.
And another question here from Sean Karp on Facebook is, would it be possible to do an embedded metal skeleton with optional deployable weapons,
ooh,
a la Wolverine? Could you do that?
Now, here's the problem. So if we replace your bones, which are already pretty strong, with some kind of metal.
Adamantium, for instance.
Adamantium.
Adamantium.
I forgot about it. Okay, right. That's what I'm about. So if you replace that with some kind of super alloy metal, you're still susceptible to tissue damage, right? What you're describing is the Terminator.
Right.
That's the Terminator.
Right.
You could still stab him and he'd still bleed.
Right.
So you still suffer tissue damage, but you're not knocking him down.
Right.
Right. Because he's got that super alloy metal for bones. Sure. I don't see why you couldn't work that.
Yeah, but then you still could, you know, if you don't have the healing factor, the healing power, then you're...
You'll just be this bloody mess at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You'll be alive and bloody.
Yeah.
Like when he was repairing himself in the hotel room in Terminator.
Exactly, when he was...
The guy knocks on the door and he looks for a response. And he says, go away. Except a little more colorfully. Yeah, so, and he's got flies and stuff. Yeah, because he's got biological tissue. Keep in mind that for the human body to work, you'd have to graft the tissue onto the metal. Our muscles connect to tendons that connect to ligaments that attach to your bones.
Mm-hmm.
So it works biologically. In order to get foreign material in there, you're going to have to attach it all some other kind of way.
And now what about – now this is – I've read articles too about the rise of nanotechnology where theoretically one day we'll have tiny robots in our bloodstream that will just sort of rebuild cells. Is there any – do you ever think that's
– that'd be cool. Yeah. I mean a nanobot would be smaller than – what a cell would identify as being a hostile invader. And so it would just be able to do anything it needs to do. I don't see why we can't manage that. But I'd rather do it from the outside. Why get all Fantastic Voyage on us and just have some kind of device that beams through your skin and lands at the tumor and cures the tumor? I mean, why?
Yeah, fair. Yeah, I'll do that.
But I'm a bot fan from way back, so.
Good.
Yeah.
So you won't stop me.
I won't. Oh, by the way, and Thor?
Yeah.
To lift the nuclear matter that is his hammer?
Yeah.
But he's an alien, so aliens, you know.
It's a whole other
level. It's a whole other thing, right.
It's a different – do you have a favorite superhero or one that you're most impressed by their construction or what the physics of them are?
No, I like Batman because he's a – I can be Batman.
He's a regular Joe.
I can be Batman. I can,
right.
And who doesn't like the gadgets, all right? And who doesn't like the car? So he's got the best car of any of them.
Yeah.
I guess because they can fly, they don't need a car. But you got to like the car.
Yeah.
Right?
The car's good.
As phallic as it is, nonetheless, he's got cool things that the car can do.
Exactly.
And so the car is an extension of his utility belt in terms of its coolness factor. So for me, I'd have to be Batman. But as a kid, I don't know if I told you this directly, I wanted to be Mighty Mouse.
Really?
Yeah.
In a way, just...
Because I wanted to save women who were mean people who were trying to harm them.
Oh, that's fair. That's
and
fair.
I wanted to sing opera while I was doing it. Here I come to save the day.
Yeah.
No, I somehow resonated with that character. I don't know why.
That is a great combination I not would have thought is saving women and singing opera.
Yeah, and he could fly and other things were bigger than him, but he had strength beyond what you would expect. So I just felt good about
And you wrestled, right? You were wrestling?
I used to wrestle, but we'll get back to that in a minute. We'll so we're in the Cosmic Queries part of Star Talk Radio. I'm Neil deGrasse Tyson. Join us again for our next segment coming right up.
Spring Black Friday savings are happening now at the Home Depot and also at your front door. Get spring savings delivered to you with free delivery on over 2 million items. Everything you need for spring cleaning, patio decorating, and front yard gardening sent right to you. And if you need it fast, get same day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Spring your way with Spring Black Friday savings only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. So you need a business partner just like you, like FedEx, who understands your passion for serving your customers because they have the same commitment towards you. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the US on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. What's more, FedEx Ground is faster to more locations than UPS Ground. Trust FedEx for timely deliveries. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively FedEx.
Whether you're a family vacation traveler, business tripper, or long weekend adventurer, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. And that's good, because there are a lot of me's. Choice Hotels has over 7,400 locations and 22 brands, including Comfort Hotels, Radisson Hotels, and Cambria Hotels. Get the best value for your money when you book with Choice Hotels. Cambria Hotels feature locally inspired hotel bars with specialty cocktails and downtown locations in the center of it all. Hey, that's me. Radisson Hotels have flexible workspaces to get the most of your business travel and on-site restaurants. That's me, too. And at Comfort Hotels, you'll enjoy free hot breakfast with fresh waffles, great pools for the entire family, and spacious rooms. Hey, that's me, too. I guess I'm just going to have to stay at all of them. Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Book direct at choicehotels.com, where travel comes true.
We're in the Cosmic Queries part of Star Talk Radio. I'm Neil deGrasse Tyson, your resident astrophysicist, here with Colin Jost, a resident comic. Colin, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
These are Cosmic Queries on our superhero show.
Yeah, this is kind of an exciting...
Yeah, I thought so. And you, just before the break, one of the questions was, what superhero do I most resonate with? And I said, I think Batman, just because he's real.
Right.
And his toys are fantasy-like, but... They're in reach, curiously,
They're justifiable with technology and with...
Justifiable extrapolations of what we know today. Yes. And I confess that in childhood, I totally was digging Mighty Mouse.
Yeah. And I was asking, is that part of what got you into wrestling, was a Mighty Mouse
inspiration? I did wrestle in high school, college, and a little bit of graduate school. No, because when I'm wrestling, I'm not thinking I'm doing it to win the heart of a woman. Right. I'm just doing it just to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very personal thing, actually, because if you lose, you just got beat. Nobody to blame.
Yeah, there's no team.
There's not some apparatus. It's you, your muscles, your quickness, your smarts, and that's it. So for me, it was the purest form of athletic contest.
Yeah.
So what are the questions?
That's a great one.
Well, I got to ask you, what superhero do you resonate with?
I mean, Wolverine for me is my favorite of all time. His style.
And his attitude. He's so attitudinal.
It's great. It's pretty awesome to get shot in the head and then just like kind of shake it off and see the bullet come out of your head and just drink a beer and, you know, be unshaven. And I'm approximating the look as much as I can with hair and not be shaving.
Is he the only superhero that drinks beer and goes unshaven? I'm wondering.
I'm sure there are others in binges, but he seems like the most regular.
It's a reliable form of his character.
And I would feel more comfortable riding a motorcycle if I had a healing power and an adamantium skeleton. You know, then my mom might allow it.
Rather than be the organ donor that the rest of them are.
Right, exactly. So this next question from Facebook from Eric Shaw is, if Superman needs the sun's rays for his strength, how does he still have powers at night?
Well, first, I didn't know he needed the sun's rays. Oh, because he comes nearer to the yellow star.
Exactly.
Of course, the sun is actually white, but that's a separate conversation, for another show.
Right.
The sun is yellow when it's on the horizon, when it's dim enough for you to notice and look at it without protection. Mm-hmm. So sunsets are these beautiful yellow-orange colors. In the middle of the day, when the sun is not crawling its way through the muck and mire of the super thick horizon-depth atmosphere.
Yeah.
The sun is not yellow. It's white. That's the color of the sun, period. Right. If the sun were actually yellow, then white things would look yellow, by the way. If you put yellow light on a white sheet of paper, the white sheet of paper is yellow. So if the sun were yellow, then snow would look yellow. But that's only near fire hydrants, last I checked. So, no. But so I don't see why he just doesn't have storage batteries to store up the energy from his daytime in the sun.
Maybe.
Why not?
Maybe. Maybe he doesn't have powers, but at least the electric car he has, he can still like putter around in.
Superman?
Solar power car. Solar power car that he gets. You don't see him at night. He just goes.
That's where he recharges.
His Batmobile.
So it means, Superman, if you sent him to the Arctic, where there's 6 months of darkness, he'd be pretty ineffective.
That's the thing, yeah. And isn't that his like cave that he goes to? Isn't that sort of
Oh, that's in the
icy?
North Pole?
Yeah,
oh, my gosh.
Whoa. Seems like the worst place for it, right?
The North Pole for 6 months of the year has no sunlight.
Seems like why go there of all places? Should be an equator cave that he goes
to. Should be an equator cave, yes. So now if it's only his proximity to the sun, whether or not he's receiving sunlight, then he's still an Earth distance from the sun.
So he's still getting
whatever is the magic rays from the sun, whether or not it's the light.
Okay, so he's going to be okay.
You think he'll be okay?
We don't have to worry about him. So this is a question from Stephen King on Facebook, I assume. I hope it's the real Stephen King.
Stephen King.
What is the likelihood of creating a real-world arc reactor like an Iron Man, the kind of artificial arc reactor heart that he has? What if any negative effects would be present if you were to house something like that within the human chest cavity?
Yeah, so I like that question. So that's a huge – oh, by the way, so I resonate more with Batman than with Iron Man. Because the energy source for Iron Man is too remote for me to embrace that.
Right.
But if you – the energy depends on how you store it. If it's stored thermally, it would be very, very hot.
Right.
If you store it electromechanically, you'd have a lot of what are effectively wound up springs.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Many ways you can store energy. You can store it chemically. That's what you have in the form of gunpowder. It's sitting there ready to explode, but it's not. So it's energy built in chemically. You can think of mechanically. You can think of thermally. And so if it was thermally, it would eventually heat him up.
Right.
You wouldn't be able to insulate it perfectly. And so that would be bad for him. That'd be bad.
Is there a chemical way that you'd have in the way of a gunpowder where you would have a store of it and it would have small,
I think the best
gradual
way to,
reactions of the, parts of it?
The best way to do that is to have a repository of antimatter. Keep it separate from the matter with some kind of magnetic bottle.
Mm-hmm.
You can't put it in a regular bottle.
I'm just writing this down so I know how to do it, so I can do it later.
You're going back to your lab.
Uh-huh. Hide, where's the antimatter?
And then you'd leak out little bits of it to merge with the matter, and then you'd have energy at your disposal, and there'd be no bad side effects. More on antimatter when we come back to the Cosmic Queries part of Star Talk Radio, the subject, superheroes, in a moment. This is Star Talk Radio. I'm your host, Neil deGrasse Tyson, astrophysicist. based in New York City, where we do most of our broadcast. And I'm here in studio with Colin Jost, comedian extraordinaire.
That's the grandiose way of saying
it. Is that on your resume?
Comedian extraordinaire. Yes, there you that's go. Very, it's, yeah.
And verifiable, too.
Yeah. I was, before that, I was a journalist extraordinaire. And before that, I was lifeguard extraordinaire.
A lifeguard, yeah. And what did you major in college?
I majored in the history and literature of Russia and Britain. So I read lived in Russia for a little bit.
Very erudite.
Not that. I read some books. That's about it.
Okay. And there's a lot of comedic repository in British.
Yeah, Russia and Britain are two different ways to go about humor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But one a lot darker than the other.
And one of our favorite friends of Star Talk is Eugene Merman.
Oh, of course,
Who has total 100% Russian.
I know. That's right. I got to talk to him in Russian sometime.
Yeah. I don't know if he's still fluent, but.
Oh, okay. Well, we can probably both have two lines and then end the conversation.
So you got more questions
for me.
So we
have questions about superheroes right now. Yeah. Here's one. This is from Christian DeMaria on Facebook. And the question is, would it be possible for a sufficiently advanced race to develop controlled wormholes as a means of transportation similar to the Rainbow Bridge that Thor uses?
Yes, entirely. We don't wield enough power over energy in the universe to just create wormholes on a whim. If we did, and the kind of power that would require, if we harnessed all the energy produced in all the stars, all the several hundred billion stars of the Milky Way galaxy, that'd be enough to kind of do what we want to accomplish.
Which is to what? To pierce through?
What you do is you use that much energy, because energy and mass are the same thing. So if you wield that much energy, you can compress energy to smaller volumes than you can solid matter. Hmm. But they both will have the same effect on the fabric of space-time, because mass and energy are the same in relativity and in this universe. They're the same in terms of their effect on the universe.
Gotcha.
And on the gravitational fields of the universe. So you'd wield this. You'd pull it out of your pocket. You say, open me a wormhole right here. And there it opens, and you dial up coordinates in time and in place. And you go through the wormhole, come out the other side, and you can be anywhere in principle in the universe instantly.
Hmm.
One of my favorite scenes in the movie, what's the one where Monsters, Inc.?
Oh, yeah.
Undiscussed in the reviews of this movie is that movie tapped the fourth dimension. That movie was all about wormholes. Those doors were the wormholes.
Yeah.
They would go through the door in the factory and end up in a kid's closet. No one talked about this.
Just by the way, here's a little extra physics.
A little extra physics there. This was an awesome feature of Monsters, Inc. Because you know they didn't come in your front door to get in your closet. There must have been some other way. It's a wormhole connecting the factory to everybody's closet. Awesome.
Yeah. That's so possible. You don't even need to be a god like Thor to potentially down the line.
No, Thor wasn't a god. Thor was a regular guy in his own place. They just called him a god in Norse legend because he had powers above anybody here on Earth.
Right. But then in some legends, he's a god. Right. I mean, in some things,
he's a god on Earth, but in his hometown, he's just Thor.
Oh, in Asgard. Yeah.
He's just a dude.
A normal dude. Yeah.
He's just blonde hair and a tan, right? That's all he is. So he's just another guy, right?
Yeah.
So.
That's the crazy thing about Avengers is that the people are operating on all different levels. There's a guy that people think is a god. There's a guy made of, an Iron Man. Captain America is just kind of like stronger.
Right, right.
Hawkeye, guy can shoot kind of well. That's just crazy. Scarlett Johansson can kick.
Yeah, it's an excellent mixture.
This question is, could Superman use a large telescope to view Krypton from afar, seeing his long-lost family and race before the planet was destroyed, assuming Krypton is further away in light years than Superman is old in human years?
Awesome question.
Right. I love they did that. And could he then fly to Krypton and, armed with his knowledge of Krypton's past, reverse time like in Superman the movie, number one, and therefore prevent Krypton's destruction?
No, but then he would have never come to Earth to then observe the destruction to go back and prevent the destruction.
So it would require some sort of being here, but then a time travel element.
No, I'm just saying, if he came here, saw Krypton being destroyed, but didn't want it to be destroyed, and went back in time to prevent it from being destroyed,
then
he would have never been cast adrift to have landed here on Earth.
But then if he goes back and reverses it, would it stop? But then he would have no remembrance of what happened?
Then he would have never come here on Earth to have stopped the explosion.
So it's just, it eats itself? It's like you can't do it?
Let's pick that up after the break.
I need a break to figure it out.
There's steam coming out of your ears. Star Talk Radio, back in a moment.
Bring on spring projects with Spring Black Friday Savings from The Home Depot. With free delivery on over 2 million items, you can bring on the spring cleaning, the patio decorating, and the front yard gardening. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Bring on the spring doing and spring your way only at The Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
We are back in the Cosmic Queries part of Star Talk Radio. I'm your host, Neil deGrasse Tyson. I'm an astrophysicist, and it's my job each week to bring the universe down to Earth for you. And helping me accomplish this are people who bring different lenses from their walk of life. Today, I've got Colin Jost with me, comedian, bar none.
And definitely not an astrophysicist. Non-astrophysicist.
Okay, I'll call you. I'm Colin Jost, not an astrophysicist. You're reading me these questions. I've never seen them before, these moments. But they come to us in all of our media outlets, Facebook. Actually, on Facebook, we are Star Talk Radio. And they come via Twitter on Star Talk Radio is our Twitter handle. And what else do they come? Also on our website, startalkradio.net. So.
And here's one that's pretty great from.
Did I finish answering the other question? I don't think
I did. Oh, no. So I didn't quite understand it.
Yeah.
Because it's Superman. He goes back. He finds out. He sees through a telescope Krypton is being destroyed. You know, in the past, as you, you know, the traces of it.
Because that light is just coming to reach us now.
Just reaching us now. So he flies out there, does his time travel whirligig around the planet, spins it back, saves Krypton, but then that means he never traveled to Earth.
That's correct.
So what is that? Where does that leave him physically?
It means it doesn't.
It can't happen.
Right. Right. I mean, it's not simply a paradox. It's a contradiction of what is even possible. So here's consider it this way.
Yeah.
With a telescope, he can go look and see Krypton in the past.
Right.
Yes, that's true.
Which is crazy. That's
pretty However, okay, as he travels to Krypton, Krypton is still advancing into the future.
Right.
While he's traveling, he'd have to travel faster than light in order to go back in time to then.
But can he do that? Right? Can he?
He's Superman, and we demonstrated earlier he can travel faster than light.
So could he?
We said that already. So Superman won.
Right. So he can do that.
Okay. Or, so all right. So yes. So he sees it destroyed. Then he travels faster than light. Gets there before the star explodes. But he can't save. He would. They all would. They're all powerful folks back there. Somebody would have saved the star. They knew the star was going to die.
Right.
And plus, back then he was a baby. So what's he going to do?
I don't know.
Don't you think somebody there would have figured out how to save Krypton?
Or
if they
someone
could've?
Would have done the time travel thing on their own, the spinning thing.
No, but time travel doesn't stop the star from.
Right. They would have figured out the star more physical.
What they would have done was move to another star.
Right.
Right. Just yeah. Do what.
They could send him away. Just they all got to get out of
there. Right. Just hightail out of there. Go find a star.
This is real.
It's what hermit crabs do.
This became a question for Superman's parents. What are you doing?
Exactly.
What were you thinking, guys?
But they had to get that Moses thing going, you know, right. Send him forward and save.
It makes a better story.
It makes a better story.
They were martyrs for the sake of fiction. This is a question from Google Plus from Stephen Burkhart. And he asks, he says, fun question. So he's already saying it's fun.
We'll be the judge of that.
Yeah, we're very cocky. Great question here. What element-based life form other than carbon would you be most interested in finding? Silicon, tungsten, potassium, etc.
Oh, silicon, of course.
And why is that the most?
Well, because if you remember your periodic table of elements from your chemistry class.
You mean SI?
That's that mysterious chart of boxes on the wall. You might remember that columns of elements have the same configuration of electrons in their outer shells, which means they combine with the same other elements.
Right.
So every way you can make a molecule with carbon, you can make that same molecule with silicon. So carbon monoxide, CO, right. You can make silicon monoxide. Carbon dioxide, you can make silicon dioxide. Wherever you find carbon in the human body, you can swap in a silicon atom for it. So in principle, you can make life based on silicon. And silicon is kind of abundant, although not as abundant as carbon. It's plenty of silicon out there. And if you were trying to invent another kind of life based on the model that we now have, a silicon-based life would be cool.
Could we somehow create beings that are, you know, genetically the same but replacing silicon with?
The day we have tools to manipulate atoms, there'd be no reason why we couldn't swap one atom at a time. And
well, it just so happens I have those tools
You've got those nano tools. So what'd be interesting is if you imagine maybe a silicon-based life form superhero. That'd be kind of interesting. I wonder what that would be like. What kind of powers it would have. But yes, the molecules are the same, but the properties would be different. They might have different strengths, different capacity to think, different acuity of vision. This would be interesting to explore, something I've never done.
Oh.
The problem is that the heavier you get on the periodic table, rapidly they become more rarer and rarer.
Right.
So
right.
If you want any chance of life happening spontaneously, it's got to be just hanging out doing nothing. And right. Carbon fits that bill marvelously.
Right, right.
You know, I think we've run out of time. Unless
really?
You have a really fast question.
Let's see. favorite Avengers.
Favorite Avenger. Yeah. I'd have to say Thor throwing a hammer. That's so primal. Right, it's low tech.
Yeah, everyone gets it.
If you were a baby and that was his rattle, that's what you just. It is so. He is how you feel. You know, I don't like you, and then you smash
everyone's
him.
A Thor after 5 p.m.
That's what Bam Bam was in the Flintstones. Right.
We gotta
wrap it up. This is the end of the superhero show.
This is a treat.
The Cosmic Queries. Colin, thanks for coming on to Star Talk Radio.
Absolutely.
You've been listening to Star Talk Radio. I've been your host, Neil deGrasse Tyson, and as always, I bid you not only farewell, but I compel you to keep looking up. That was a good Cosmic Query session. When we come back, I'll have Bill Nye the Science Guy and co-writer of Cosmos, Steven Soter, to talk to us more about science fiction, specifically how it's portrayed in the movies. This is the Cosmic Crib section of Star Talk. I'm Neil deGrasse Tyson. With me in my Cosmic Crib, which is really just code for my office at the Hayden Planetarium here at the American Museum of Natural History, I got Steve Soter, friend and colleague.
Hello,
he's
Neil.
An associate of the Hayden Planetarium. I've got Bill Nye, also an associate. Thanks for just coming to chill, just chew the fat.
I love the crib.
Yeah, well, I want to talk about today, because we're just chilling. I want to talk about science as represented in movies. And lately, there was like Interstellar came out, and I tweeted that the lead 5 characters are all portraying scientists. And in it, there have the roles of father or son or mentor or wife or child. And
also physicist who changed the world who's a woman.
Yeah, all personal relationships are explored in it. I thought that was a good thing. But here we have a movie that fully goes there. It wants the wormhole and a black hole, time dilation. It's all in the movie. All of it. And then I think of other movies that
Also apocalyptic. The world's ending. The Earth is no longer livable.
Bill, isn't that just the storyline of every science fiction movie?
We just tossed in
apocalypse. The science fiction movie is they go into space and bad stuff happens. Science fiction movie.
Bad stuff's happening on Earth. They got to go into space.
Yeah, in that particular case. But I think of movies that have thought a lot about the science that's in them. Interstellar is one of them. As an advisor, they had Kip Thorne, who's one of our colleagues at Caltech. In fact, I have one of his books is sitting here on my shelf, Gravitation. The only book that you ever learn about just by carrying it around. It's huge, thick book with the proportions of a New York Yellow Pages.
If back anyone is young
enough,
things,
old enough to remember the Yellow Pages.
So, by the way, Steve, I walked up into space sciences at Cornell University campus one day.
As an undergraduate?
As an undergraduate, and there's Carl Sagan, and I'm sure you were there, and Kip Thorne. Mm-hmm. Talking about black holes, falling into a black hole, living, ending up in another part of the universe at another time. And that was very compelling. And so that was part of the idea of Interstellar, is that you'd end up, you would control where you ended up. And
well, because you had some access to the space-time continuum. But I think of other films. Steve, you've obviously seen Contact, of the story, the film. Well, there was a book and a film with that. I was impressed with not only the science of that film, but how much attention they gave to public's reaction to the possibility, the reality in that case, of contact with extraterrestrial intelligence, not just extraterrestrial life. That, Steve, do you think much about science in films?
Do I think much about science in films?
Yeah.
No.
No, you don't. You just let the film be whatever it is?
Yes.
Oh, that you are so kind.
Oh, that's what's so troubling to me.
Oh, Steve.
Whenever there's, by the way, when there's an airplane disaster movie.
Oh, I mean, I think it's something clearly wrong, think about it. Yeah.
Well, that's where we're trying to head here in the Cosmic Crib.
But where did they get something wrong in that?
In Contact?
Contact, yeah.
Yeah, they got something really, really wrong in Contact. You didn't know this?
I've forgotten.
Oh, no. So I'm sitting next. Well, so I'm at the premiere.
Minding your own business.
I never got invited to any premiere in my life.
Yeah.
I got just 18 years ago, right? And I got invited to a premiere. So there's a New Yorker in L.A. for a premiere of a movie. Yeah. So I'd say the stupid thing, like there's popcorn on display. And I said, how much is the popcorn? And the guy said, oh, it's $17. And then they all started laughing. Because it's all free. Yeah. It's a premiere.
Yes.
The movie company pays for everything.
Yes.
I didn't know this. I was an idiot. Okay? There,
you were
I
just
confessed
young
it.
And naive.
But no. What happened was...
Just young and naive equals idiot. So here's what happened. So I'm there. I'm sitting next to Frank Drake.
Right.
He's a professor of astronomy at Cornell. Famous for what?
The Drake equation.
The Drake equation. Bill, recite the Drake equation. Oh, tell us what it is.
It's you estimate the likelihood, the number of intelligent life forms that would be in your galaxy or the cosmos based on multiplying a series of what I would call fudge factors. It's multiplicative. It's algebraic. You multiply number of stars times likelihood of planets around stars times likelihood of planets like Earth around stars times likelihood of planets like Earth that have intelligent life, that times likelihood of intelligent planets with intelligent life right now.
Right.
And you end
technology.
Up
technology. Right, right.
Even because there are, if I may, billions and billions of stars, you end up with a pretty significant number of intelligent life.
So watch what happens.
Yeah.
So Jodie Foster, her character, is there next to...
Arroway.
Ellie Arroway is there next to...
Matthew McConaughey's character is in both movies.
Yeah, and he's Palmer Johns or whatever.
He's a preacher.
He's a failed priest.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, he's a medium priest.
Okay.
Some success.
Or some pastor. Right. So anyway, so they're there. That's not even relevant. They're there, and she is talking about the romance of the night sky, and he's up there saying, so what do you think about it? Whatever. And she says, you know, if there were 100 billion stars in our galaxy.
Aren't there about, at that time,
That's fine. That's fine. 100 billion is fine. To astronomical accuracy, it's fine.
Fine.
Okay. 100 billion stars. If only one in a million had planets. And only one in a million of those had life. And only one in a million of those had intelligent life.
Yeah.
That still leaves millions of planets.
Right.
And I said, I'm sitting right next to Frank Drake, and I can't.
10 to the 9th times 10 to the minus 6 times 10 to the minus 6.
Yeah, you're left with one millionth of a civilization to find.
I remember that now. Yeah, they blew that. Yes.
Yeah, they blew it. And then I said, I'm blaming Jodie Foster. For that.
Because that was her best take,
bro.
She wanted to go home and then.
I'm blaming Jodie Foster. Because last I checked, she went to Yale, right? You think they have arithmetic at Yale.
Okay.
So she would know to check this number that's coming out of her mouth. I would have. So I blame.
She's playing a character.
And
you don't know what happens later in the screenplay, Mr. Professional Character Actor Guy. You got to read the lines that you are given.
Because maybe it had to be that.
So rather it's than, the script writer.
It's the script writer. No, but still, I mean, yeah. So, but that was a quibble. I mean, I thought the movie was brilliantly conceived, especially how the public interacted.
Yeah, it's really good. But I say this all the time as CEO of the Planetary Society, as a product of the Frank Drake influence, the Carl Sagan influence, and the Steve Soter influence, if we were to discover life on another world, and the places to look that we could do in my lifetime and listeners' lifetime is Mars and Europa, the moon of Jupiter.
So far,
and
it's
Enceladus, moon of Saturn.
I was going to throw the Enceladus is a
good candidate.
It's good, but it's a whole nother. It's not seawater.
But Steve, you lived through this. In my day, the planets were the great destinations until Voyager, mm-hmm. and the Voyager revealed that the moons
are more interesting.
Where the action is. Yeah. And that you could have a civilization possibly on a moon of a larger planet that might not even have a rocky surface to land on.
A good-sized moon, though. We're not messing around.
It's got to be good-sized, like moon-sized moon.
Yeah.
Well, there's bigger than moon-sized moons in our solar system.
Yes.
Yeah, Ganymede is
and
a little bigger.
And there's Titan, which has an atmosphere which is a lot denser than the atmosphere of the Earth.
So Titan rocks.
Yeah.
Apparently it is rocky with oceans and
icy.
Tides.
It's icy. But it's oceans of liquid methane. It has hydrological cycle, it has weather, it has rain, it has clouds like the Earth, but the liquid involved is methane, not water, because
so
it's
here,
so cold
listen,
out there.
So just listen, everybody. These guys are talking about
Wait. If we were a life form based on liquid methane, we would not even be saying it's cold.
Right.
That's just the natural temperature.
Yeah, saying that the Earth is a furnace.
And we come to the Earth, we would, like, combust.
Right.
Right. Because we have methane.
Dr. T, you're
Wait. If I went there and inhaled some methane, and they came to Earth, where there's oxygen in the atmosphere, I should not go near any candles. Isn't that correct?
Yes.
Because the methane will combust on contact with the oxygen.
If there's still enough of it when you exhale, yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, your wife's from Fairbanks.
But she's raised in Fairbanks, Alaska.
And it's a big party. A buddy of mine, a guy I went to high school with, it's a big day when it's minus 40 because they can pour propane on the ground. It stays a liquid.
Yeah,
it's a
so
big party
my wife's sister, who we visited often, when it gets that cold, their propane tanks liquefy, and so they can't get gas into the stove. So they've got to go out, heat the propane tank so that it vaporizes so that they can unturn the... This is like life in Alaska.
And okay? It's fun for them. Aside, by the way...
No, but we'll get back to movies. Here. So, Bill, what science movie do you think got it the best?
Well, I think Contact. Seriously,
I'm not
just jumping on the bandwagon, but I really very much enjoyed, until it got too weird, 2001.
Oh, yeah, 2001 got weird.
Yeah,
then
I won't say jump the shark. It just went back in time with a
I think 2001,
baby.
Had they known about wormholes and black holes...
They would have used it.
They would have used it.
Sure, who wouldn't?
Right. Duh.
No, but the whole
actually, they had a scene that was like going through a wormhole in 2001, if you remember.
No, that's my point, but it's not hole-like. Yeah. It's very...
We don't know what a wormhole
geometric.
Looks like.
And one of the insights that you do get
from Interstellar... I know what a wormhole looks like.
Sure you do. One of the insights that you do get from Interstellar, despite what else you might not get from it, is that a black wormhole is a sphere. You can come in any direction.
Yeah. A hole in space is a sphere. Yeah. That's correct. It's a three-dimensional hole. There's another movie I think is underappreciated, well, underspoken of its science, and that's Deep Impact. Let me tell you why.
Okay,
it's an asteroid hits Earth.
Yeah,
okay?
That's important.
Unlike Armageddon, where the asteroid parts had good aim, and one hits the Eiffel Tower, one like decapitates the Chrysler Building. If maybe I'm mixing up a couple of movies, but basically they aim the asteroids to civilization's icons. In Deep Impact, they said, look, most of the world is ocean. Let's just have the sucker hit the ocean. Yeah. You can still destroy the coastal cities with a huge tsunami, which they did for New York.
That film, by the way, had very good science consulting, and they took them seriously.
This is my point. Yeah. So you saw Deep Impact. Yeah. They did it right. Unlike Armageddon, which I couldn't even... I don't even criticize Armageddon because it's
over the top. By the way, listeners, something I'd like you to think about is an asteroid impact and what we would do about an oncoming impactor. There is no evidence that the ancient dinosaurs had a space program.
No evidence at all.
If they
didn't have opposable thumbs and they had that walnut-sized brain.
You don't know. You don't know what they could have.
How big was their brain? It was littler.
It depends on who you're talking with.
The brains might have been bigger than ours, but their bodies were so much bigger that.
But you guys, you can be dismissive. But when I watch how ants can get organized, termites can get astonishing things done. You don't know what the ancient dinosaurs could have pulled off. That said,
if they had gotten organized.
That said, we're the guys with the problem. We're the people. We're the organisms with the problem if there is an impact or coming toward us. And another thing to think about science fiction-wise is maybe the reason we've never heard from another civilization is because they did not pass an asteroid test. They did not deflect an oncoming asteroid.
So they've all gone extinct by their own asteroid.
Control-delete out there, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Guys, we got to wrap it up. This is the Cosmic Crib. Bill, thanks for coming by the office.
Thank you. It's cozy.
Yeah, Steve Soder, thanks for coming by, as
likewise.
Always. All right. This is Neil deGrasse Tyson signing off from Star Talk Cosmic Crib.
Spring Black Friday savings are happening now at the Home Depot and also at your front door. Get spring savings delivered to you with free delivery on over 2 million items. Everything you need for spring cleaning, patio decorating, and front yard gardening sent right to you. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Spring your way with Spring Black Friday savings only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.